first thing I'd like to do is to, I always like to pay homage to my ancestors, and I'd like to invoke some spirits tonight. And I ask these brothers for this specifically because I wanted to invoke the spirit of Marvin Gaye, of Louis Jordan, Spider Turner, Jackie Wilson, Otis Redding, David Ruffin, Eddie Kendricks, Sterling Brown, Robert Hayden, Langston Hughes, and Ethel Knight. And how I'd like to begin is not with one of my own, but a poem by him, Sterling Brown. It's called Long Gone. I liked your kind of loving, and never caught you wrong. But it just ain't natural for to stay here long. It just ain't natural for a railroad man with an itch for traveling he can't understand. I looks at the rails, and I looks at the ties, and I hears an old freight puffing up the rise. And at nights on my pallet, when all is still, I listen for the empties bumping up the hill. When I ought to be quiet, I just got an itch for to hear the whistle blow, for the crossing of the switch. And I knows the time's a near when I got to ride, though it's home-like and happy at your side. You has done all you could do to make me stay. Take no fault of yours, I's leaving. I's just that away. I's got to see some people I ain't never seen. I's got to highball through some country where I never been. I don't know which way I'm traveling, far or near. All I know is for certain is I can't stay here. Ain't no call at all, sweet woman, for to carry on. Just my name, just my habit to be long gone. How I relate to place, I think, it just occurred to me that time is a place. And what I'd like to do, just as a kind of overall preface, the first preface, my first preface of the evening, time is a place, and what I like to do is to travel through time. And you want to keep that in mind as I go from beginning to end. I'm going to start, I think, somewhere behind me, and end, I hope, pointing towards some time and place ahead of me. The first poem I'd like to do is called Ars Philosophia, and it's kind of my aesthetic statement of principle. And this one occurred with Clarence Major in mind, Colleen McElroy, and Wallace Stevens. This will be the first of two times you hear his name tonight. And this is a definitely an anti-reaction to Wallace Stevens. Ars Philosophia. Who knows what it is to breathe, to swallow lakes or rivers or air, to say, this is finite and this not, this real, this not. Real is like rice. It is to be buried in the fields your children are growing. Real is rice or sugarcane. It is cotton, tobacco. Real is an earth thing. Judgment, not assumption. No hymns to gods or hero worship. Real is a thing, like earth and rice. If it is any scene at all, it is crows. Fat crows yelping your name. And children, your children, shaking fists and banging pots at the sky, saying never, never. Narrative of the Miraculous Escape. This one occurred during a period when I was just reading tons of slave narratives, and this is my poetic impression. Narrative of the Miraculous Escape. Then as now, moonlight on water is silent. In silent reflection, always watching, never promising, never to betray the trust, never to break the quiet. Silent moon sits still and perfect, ripples as we breeze by. Hears and holds the secrets of prayers and yearnings. A halter, a horse whipping off. The night folds, protects us into darkness. With us fight hounds and paddle rollers and dogs, and we are bound. We learn respect, each for the other. Together assume the common stance against foes thinking to consume. We race, we fight, elude the grassy daylight, just escape the bane of paddlers and dogs and hounds. We flee. From where nighttime goes, we return. Speak, breathe in guarded tongues, feel our courage, whisper songs in moonlight. A wavering, a warning, a shot. What daylight finds is never us. We sit securely as shadows. Tap this daylight, wait for our moment of movement, leap into moonlight, dash madly for Haven's borders. Waste no moment to mourning the frightful, timid, and unwilling. From freedom's side, we report a miraculous escape. Assured that secrets are sacred and kept, we await many more. Now as then, moonlight and water is silent. Notes on a disremembered past. And this was inspired by the Persian Gulf War or Desert Storm. The first incursion is muted whisperings, video rolling slow, motion, no sound. If there is no meat to be passed, no spills to be cleaned, you see it, otherwise not. And even then, it will have no significance of the sort that stops a meal, makes you figure the day, the time, mark your place, since you know it is a somewhere you will never return or find again. So you keep things from one history to the next, souvenirs, relics, charms, an old sometimes or ebonies and jets stuffed under sofa cushions between mattresses, thinking that you will, long before the next time, tell your children where you were, what was said, how in the middle of dinner or yelling or working, everything broke, and you promised. Promise to rub your stones of remembrance, every now and then to sniff and taste the soil your grandparents ate. Show them your long scar of 20 or so stitches you took after running your arm through a basement window. All of this to enable you to say, ah, that was the time of, and you hope, even though a remark will be made before the ironclad stomping of boots begins all over again. But they maneuver so quietly these days, they go quickly to commercial. What I'd like to get into now is some blues. As by way of preface, all the names you hear are real folks and folks that are related to me by blood and to my wife by blood. These are all folks I've heard about and known as real people, heard about and or known as real people. One of the things that inspired this poem, I was at a family reunion about 3 years ago, and at this family reunion, I learned that my father's great-grandmother was named Patsy Harriet, Martha Keela, Wright Yoletta, Kit Tequila, Bonnie Clara, Sarah Ann, Virginia Jane, Reeves, Carter, Griggs. And they called her Harriet for short. And so I had heard about her a few years before that from my grandmother who called her Harriet. And the first time I heard this name at the family reunion, this one of my far-removed cousins told me this name. I was like, oh, man, I know you're just making that up. It's a good story. But then I heard it from a completely different source. And what I found out about great-grandma Harriet's name is that she was born in 1847, and she was a slave. And one of the things that happened to her is she was moved around from plantation to plantation, and everywhere she went, they called her something different. So everywhere she went, she kept the name from every place she went. So when you hear her name, it's like hearing a history of all the places that she's been. And that made me realize how important the sound of our names was. If all you hear is the sound of my name, the sound of my children's name, or the sound of great-grandma Harriet's name, then you know something terribly important about who we are and where we've been. This one's Winding Sheet Blues. Winding Sheet, for those who don't know, is basically a shroud cooling board is the slab that they lay you on, and that could be anything from the kitchen table to the floor to a slab in the door. Why did she blues? Keep singing lies, Gracie, Gus, Viola, Harriet, Dealey, who got blood tied up in us children, blood bound to me and you, Gang and Clara, Stephen, Francie, Daddy Tom, Mother Bessie too. Winding, she ain't got no ending, got no beginning too. Auntie Nell, she's the baby, JC, 15 years old. Say they married brother Chase, a few miles back from the road. Granddaddy Chase, a working man, that kind what's hard to find. Left the lives at nine children more than behind. Cleaning board got no beginning, and got no ending too. Willis Nora didn't see 40, checked out before 35. If living had been easy, well maybe she's still alive. Buried Auntie Nora, white hat and pocketbook gone. Navy blue dress, matching gloves. Can't believe our Nora's gone. Death blues don't still be kicking long after me and you. Nora, Fuzzy, Jason, Johnny, done seen it, Lord, and crossed. Jordan River, cold and chilly. Us all is bound to cross like Lee Grant and Katie, Bert and Annie. They seen that river, they crossed. Winding, she ain't got no ending, got no beginning too. Cooling board got no beginning, ain't got no ending too. That blues don't still be kicking long, long after me and you. So I grew up in the church, and this one comes straight out of the church. So if y'all feel like talking, I neglected to mention, a silence is like real deadly to me. Particularly on this one, if y'all ever been in church, and my brother's here. My brother surprised me from out of town. He's a deacon, so if anybody talked back, you ought to talk back. On this one. This one's called Can I Get a Witness? This song weighs more than most. It's slow, slowed by the heavy step we dance. Woke up this morning with my mind. A straight and melodic assault that will compel sister, brother, somebody in an instant before. Stayed on Jesus. From seat to aisle and a body arching and thank ya that it's hallelujah, hallelujah. Witnesses up front, the cry dies, but feet in a circle of arms, in a space the ushers create, will find the beat, followed down, till the third chorus is all moaning. So the devil won't know this sloping and stooping of bats is all choreography and grace. Haiku Blue, one of my few jaunts into formalism. What I tried to do in this one is to take something that is basically a blues stanza, or could be a blues stanza, and then make it fit and basically into a haiku pattern, because I don't know, there was something to my ear that just suggested that these two forms could be combined. And talking to Steve yesterday, we discussed a few things about how even the scale structure from blues and some Asian music, it operates on an interesting kind of similar scale. So this is what it is, haiku blue. An agony come with 100 twists and turns, up, down, back again. Raised up my head down in Birmingham, between here and there, and dropped it again. My mama squeezed and hugged me, daddy kissed me too. All I know of love. Headlong, I'm out there spinning, crossways, side to side. Shut my eyes, cry. long talking to. Only way to go, for what I know. Traveling sad with a nameless hound across railroad tracks. I've been 3 a.m. running, driving, blind in the fog, thinking why I'm here. Heard Christians pray in church, been down in deep joint suit. All got souls to save. Southern rivers run like north ones do. I've had to swim a time or two. Universe like a spinning top. World fast, look slow. Fooled me every time. Made a fool of me. It closed my eyes, bit my tongue. Stone fool like me. When this jazz is done, put me down for one more round. Come back with my friends. I am seeing with my last eyes. Slow look waltz, they say. No one thing I see. Getting quiet still. One more time I got to hear Professor Longhair's Tipitina, Slippery Queen, or Mardi Gras. One night I was sitting up late at night trying to write a poem, and I had the TV on for lights and for just background noise, and I happened to see, it was on Dick Cavett, and the Modern Jazz Quartet showed up on Dick Cavett, and it just cracked me up, because they blew this man's mind. It's like they play, and after that he had no idea what to say to them, and this is the poem that was inspired to me after seeing that. Simply entitled MJQ. Four brothers, ancient as bebop, make music no hard thing. Hip cats, graying goatees, swing a cool rhythm, icebox jazz. Should've known, it comes down, always, cell bunks, teacher lectern, teacher's lectern, whatever, to being unable to breathe. Should've known, chunk by chunk, till you cough up blood and drown, your lungs get caught. Not even for science or anything. When I hear Etheridge, he did, I hold my breath, what to say, you a lot. Goodbye, Ruby Begonia. Watch her hang her head, heave a sigh. Everything owned, packed in cardboard, worn suitcase, else wrapped around her head. Said sad foots is made for walking. No blues sung on this road, sister. Nuh-uh, no blues, no blues. Some things better left gone. Left gone, left gone. Moving out of real time for some whim that ain't never was. Gonna be no coming back. Be no coming back. Wonder whoever knew her. Said sad goodbyes, Ruby. Yeah, so long. JB and the Boys, circa 1990. John Brown's body lies no longer a moldering or rotting, nothing like that at all in his grave. Any decay by now is deceased, and so too is the Patriots. All the men they were are gathered and seeking a new expeditionary raid. The best plan this time. Time, truth, and all that other shit in March. They figured, why shouldn't they? Considering technology, this next piece is called In Defense of Human Bondage. When I did this in workshop, one of the comments was that this was an ironic poem, that it was full of irony, which was a comment that kind of confused me because I didn't know myself whether or not there was anything ironic about it at all. So take it as you will. In defense of human bondage, someone will always buy the children. Someone will sell. If not for paper and trinkets, then for pleasure. On speculation, for a buck and wing, for a dash in record time, for steak in the shape of a head, the cut of a jaw, the back of a hand brushed against the cheek, a comfortable heft in an elbow's crook, as easy as ordered as natural law, or in behalf of God, someone will buy, someone will always. This was 79th of the Dan Ryan. This one began to occur to me at a time when I began to see people standing on corners selling everything. And if you drive through any urban area, through the black neighborhoods, like the major intersections, you'll see folks selling everything. You'll see folks will come up and wash your windows and expect you to pay for it. One of the things that happened to me, why this poem became important to me, is because I looked out and I saw people that looked just like me trying to make their living and their life this way. And I'm sitting in my car, and many times I would know certain intersections, and I would hope the light was green. So that way I wouldn't have to stop, and I wouldn't have to deal with my own guilt. I wouldn't have to deal with my own fear, because there were times, you know, I just didn't know what to do with it. This was 79th of the Dan Ryan. Among the chosen, street merchants are forced outside to sit consistent, whether heat or rain or t-shirts and baseball caps or beds or rings, and the cars that fly this stretch say, my, my, and avert their eyes or focus straight ahead and think, can't stop to buy roses, gotta be freeway soon. Among the chosen, corner boys are forced to attack, to slosh and prod with squeegees and gray water, and get 10 cars a lot before one. One will say yes and thank you for pay. And the spot in the window is a memory of blur and gone. And soon these boys are men and women gathered. Marty and Lou's offices lounge. That's a crowd we will always discuss. And because the drinks are strong until 4 a.m., grow loud and fierce when they rhyme. At this one or that, we turn their head and fill it with the radio or heat. Out of fear, I'm buying pull-ups, t-shirts, baseball caps, or beds, or balloons, or dolls, or rings, and anything that the light will green and soon and let the engines and race and fly whoosh away after a mile or two. And open their eyes and sigh. This is one of my my only animal farm.
Animal farm?
This occurred at the time in workshop. It seemed like there were a lot of dog poems showing up, or a lot of animal poems. I'd never written one, so I tried. Best friend. Most times, he like a dog. He turn his head, he sniff the air, he smell you coming a long way off. Somebody throw, he fetch. Catch it between his teeth, gnaw, slobber, then drop it at your feet. He piss to mark his spot. He stick his cold nose in shit, then lap it up, if you like. Most time, we like him. He growl at strangers. He howl. Wake you up at night. Every now and then, he bite.
I like that.
This next poem is for three of the most interesting human beings I've ever met in my life. Anybody who spent like an hour or 15 minutes in my apartment when Lauren, Rachel, and Mariah, who are my three daughters, 7, 4, and 19 months, are there and testify to this, somebody told me, and I believe it's true, they are old spirits, and they have been here before. And this one's called Conquistadores. We raise our daughters to know when to wear snakes in the hair or to cuss for propriety's sake, how to settle bills, how to strike, that nothing store-bought's good as homemade, to see difference between the sweating stone, the stone that sweats, the stone you breathe on, the spirit's stone, the specific odor of every spirit, signifying, how to do the dance to the real Marvin and the spectral, to Riri's chain of fools, Roberta and Donnie swears of love, Percy Sledge and Little Lester Phillips. We are learning to call them a delicate balance, a precarious perch, watermelon wine candy, the first hurricane of the storm season. This is called Unveiling the Painted Chiffre Robe. And this one, I think at this point, I begin to get into some voices that for me are a combination of voices I've heard in the past, voices I hear now, and voices I imagine will be spoken at some point after this. Unveiling the Painted Chiffre Robe. I am building the Bri-Bri house. One, swept earth smooth through the grape until there's nothing left to bloom. Two, around this knee-deep, a trench filled with bald black tires, stacked stuff with moving hands, styrofoam, plastered with mud, feathers, fur. Three, flat atop this, a corrugated tin roof. Four, the threshold of raised mound, feeling judged. Five, a window carved for catching sunset. Inside, raised arms outstretched, turn a circle, leave finger tracks imprinted around the wall, and the blood of Kennedy, King, and Jesus, Malcolm, Marcus, and Mother of God, all pushpinned to the side at sitting high level. Below them, a cardboard family, bonneted and with praying hands and lifted eyes, on the front of a cloaked and ransomed funeral parlor family. Seven. Set the old painted chiffre robe dead and center under dropped oil cloth. Lean against it, prop up your back from inside. Eight. Out the doorway, things I own are flapping leaves in the wind. All the religion, physics, migration books randomly showing pages that no one reads or cares to now. And there are no stairs or hills for descending or climbing, and no sand and no bones. No bones, save two unpolished, blackened curving sticks for making platinum two barns apart and separate, and otherwise empty drawers of the ship row. Otherwise empty save the boy, drawn inside the bottom bone's drawer. The boy holds and clutches a face in the bottom drawer. Cups the face between his hands, and about it, he says through the balloon flowing just away from his upper mouth and just above his head. And from the balloon and about his face, he is always saying from the bottom drawer, "No one gets the last look at my face. No one sees the last look on my face." And above the middle drawer, the next frame, he is drawn. He turns his back, and the balloon words "mother, mothering" meant not to be heard. And above again, the top bone drawer, again his back. And to the back of open and empty hands, whatever was clutched is gone, good and gone. I am offering tea and conversation. 9. Any moment singing can begin. Even the slightest drizzle, even snow can maintain nothing of silence above the metallic slap-sazzle hiss against tin resounding underneath. The rain collects in the channels, changes the pitch all throughout, and you sing, accompanied with bones, spoons, hands, or feet. And after rain, you up and over the threshold check lines, trenches, and colors. 10. I remember my uncles, the way they took their tea. Only so long could they sit for tea, harumph and haw over wars and news. Only so long hold polite postures before the old etiquette requires standing, then moving. Some new path comes across this hole. A few steps and whispers are beyond hearing. Then they loud laugh, perhaps they dance, and they ask the poet who, when talking history, says, "Guard your language, and guard your life." Not that they call themselves shamans or lamas, evangelists or priests, but they never stand stock still in a place where two roads meet. But these days, the young people know absolutely nothing. And think that people are in good health, what is the point of these arguments? 11. The devil you see is no devil at all. The art you call is no art. You can tell before you're coming where this all would lead. Some talk, some tea, and the inevitable request to sing. And of course, I know each place the sugar of the scene. They catalog every mark and scratch, tell the texture from memory alone. But what good is it if no one will pour sweet milk in a sacred stream? What good if no one will walk a long, thin hair between two mountains? 12. I will sit here, I will remember. Perhaps say, there is no dying left when I'm here, until it is all of the truth. As far as I can tell, ain't no earthly reason to live it now. This poem was inspired by Langston Hughes and the character of his Jesse B. Semple. Langston wrote tons of simple tales. One of the ones that has always caught my attention is the one where Semple talks about feet and shoes and standing on line and all the places his feet and shoes have been. And actually, when I showed this in workshop, they informed me that I had a foot fetish, which I didn't know. This poem is called Another Foot Poem. The thumping thud of red mud caked and dried foot is unnoticed silence to the prancing fool, who've been taken in, so to speak, by the sound of old feet scattering. Best of all, he think it's a dance. Now that's a laugh of truth if ever I heard one. And he been inviting all his bestest friends, cause he's the mayor, the guest of honor. So he is. Just to be simple, ain't dead yet, y'all. You see, the mark of a man or woman still is corns and onions from years worth of standing in line from Montgomery to Mississippi. That boy got to splain everything to you. Ain't always been a reason why folks box trot and bundle the way they do. All feet speak thunder. Well, together, that is. Now, put on your soft walking overshoes and let's dance. Postmodern urban contemporary western with a hip hop beat. Two-tone town. This here is a two-tone town. Racist fiends and interlopers ride. Have this fancy way of puffing smoke, smothering butts in their palm. Against the heel of a well-oiled lizard and crocodile boot. That's swallow hole, don't choke in this smoke. We fucking own the world. This here is a two-tone town. But mind what goes by day. Think ballet, think gay, on the two, on the trois. The leaf salon, the leaf and descending, weightless layers of English and fraud. This here is a trans tip of the fraud. Layer four and words like bravo, bravissima. This here town is a two-tone town. This is a two-tones at point watching. To me. the note I wrote to myself about it is, I don't always know what things mean, but I know what they sound like. And this one is kind of a compilation of the stories I heard in Sunday school, Aesop's fables that I've read, Greek myths that I've read, and African folk tales that I've read. And it's called simply The Tale. The goat god is the love god grown wild. The rabbit is the earth's last man. The duck is the spirit of truth, or beauty, or whatever. The rabbit, as ghost, wonders. He supposes himself out of time. If the end of time is veritable, a verity, truth, or implacable, he is okay with that. After all, he has an impossible life. He has outlived his children, their children, and his children's children's children. He has earned this loneliness, and by that too, he is okay. The duck has always been the only duck, though not always the duck. He never bothered for a moment by the world's apparent ducklessness. There were skies and ponds and lakes, a few hundreds of cool shots, and not too bright. And for them, goats had been much easier than that. One morning, the duck stretches first one wing and then the other, then chooses rather to waddle from wild lakes to waterhole. The rabbit at the waterhole sits on, marks the 15 steps he needs to run, leap, and flop into the waterhole. The rabbit, running, hears a quack. But it is not the quack that amazes, then stops him. And it is not the rabbit running which inspires the quack. It is the goat god's wild with boredom. Nothingness. It is over nothingness that I preside. Ain't that a bitch? And like that, out of nowhere, as if out of nothing, there is snow. And nothing but snow. Wild, blinding, and accumulating snow. Now there is no boredom. The goat god is all wildness. Now there is no regret. And there is no hope. Only blinding, white light, wildness. Turn, solve some mystery, and save the world from becoming the one which the dead are altogether dead. That there was no riddle was sufficient to make of the duck a prophet, and the rabbit a madman. And there did the rabbit and the duck, as prophet and madman, dye their colors of indigo. And there they built an altar of stone and made of it a sun. This is how boredom became a curse. References to Kant, the Bible, Wallace Stevens, T.S. Eliot, Things I Heard in Church, Bob Marley, John Coltrane, mm-hmm. Robert Frost, James mm-hmm. Brown, yeah. And a few other people.
Yeah, I heard that.
It's simply called Finale. We will quit the stern postures and sad looks. We will offer fossils for bones and fine carvings, nothing for favor. We will find the proper stance for singing. We will consider prayer and dancing, anything calling for feet. Then, a moment of stillness before bowing face to the east, north, then south. We will begin with whisperings weighted with authority and philosophy, saying, when the alabaster box is broken, the odor of rejoicing will fill the house. And this is not the last whisper, nor is it for dying. It is finale, final. For the rest of this life, its tones are disquieting. And there will be no telling how many we will be when our feet ring and shuffle from porch to porch, shot from cool earth, concrete, solid floor, up the back stairs, round the corners, and over this tract. When the alabaster box is broken, the odor of rejoicing will fill the house. Not one will fret, the noumena, the logos, how long ago we lost the word for what it contains. No matter then, long time now, soundless, we have passed it smoothly, hand to hand, unquestioned. No matter now, our hands have been shaped according to holding, our gates and gaping heads accustomed to the tilt of silent curiosity, our routines regulated, practicing care. How long ago and what we lost, logos, name, thing, contained, is no matter at all. No matter, oil or ash, cries of spirit, incense or body, or nothing, it will spill and spread and stain and waft, and our fact, our chosen fact, will be confirmed in. Our time will point from it to here, and we will sing, we will whirl, kick, dance, flail, yarn, shout, bounding legs struck. The odor will swell in hollow tones of hallelujah, I agree. A love supreme will rise to commence the beast, cheap joy, puss party praise, when rubble is the last and smoother surface. Someone will agree to mother and sisters, to take the rubbers and whimper, cry out, all is lost, or abandoned. That fact is the greatest dream that feeling knows, that we depend on the tragic. Rise up, children. Rise up, shepherds.